Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 709. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
I'd just like to announce via executive order that this podcast from now on will be called The Gulf of Mexico.
I wonder if Google will go along with that. Earl is here as well.
I would just like to announce that this is my final week on this show. Based on executive action, we are no longer allowed to have DEI hires on the show. So, take my bow. I'm busy trying to cause plane crashes elsewhere. So,
we'll have Jeff to go is find here some also.
White dude to replace you.
I'm gonna have to outlaw these DEI jokes on this podcast.
Where could we find a 45-year-old white man?
You can't find them anywhere. They're all gone. They've all been replaced.
To be fair, if you want to do it properly, it has to be a 45-year-old white man who doesn't play video games, but pretends to be an expert on it, so it really feels like what this administration is going for.
We could. I'm sure that those people do. They're out there. I'll search Reddit for a little COVID. Bit.
It's except for in Chinese people, kind of what I heard.
It's been another week. I don't really want to get into it, I don't think. I don't want to give it too much headspace for anybody. But video games happened. There was a couple things that stuck out to me. MLB The Show 25. I think this year's is 25. Yeah. Is not launching on Game Pass for the first time since it came to Xbox. To me that sounds like the deal's done. Like they signed a 4-year deal and they don't need it anymore because they were trying to build up a base. But I don't know. Some people are very. Very upset about it not coming to Game Pass, but the numbers have dropped when it debuted. Yeah. Like it was pretty high, like, and it's cut in half since then. So, I think if you want to play baseball, you're probably going to buy it.
Right. I always found like baseball games. I could get really into it, but then I need to take a break for the next year or two.
Yeah, same.
It doesn't feel any significantly different from year to year. For some reason, I guess maybe because the seasons are shorter in some of the other sports, that it just doesn't feel as bad in like if you're playing like football or you're playing basketball. But like the baseball, you end up playing so much of it, and it's also samey.
Yeah.
That you just need a break.
Yeah, that was kind of how I approached I played that one that first came out on Xbox, and then I think I took the next year off and played the one after that. And I'm good for a bit, I think. The other bit of news that caught my eye was Forza Horizon 5 is coming to PlayStation. And this has made some people very, very angry.
Who did it make angry? I know who it made angry, but it would be different if this was the first announcement or if this was like the first major game that was revealed to be this way. But Indiana Jones is coming to PlayStation 5 soon. That's a major release from last year. Like probably the biggest release they had last year. A lot of the games were ported over.
Doom is coming on launch day.
Yeah, so I assume it's the same people like, oh my gosh, I don't like it doesn't make any sense to buy an Xbox anymore. It's basically that weird tribalism like I need to brag about my exclusives and now my exclusives aren't my exclusives. What am I supposed to talk about?
I'm like so what I call on the kind of like the comment sections and forums are all was it's those people. Like, the doom and gloom. It's just the end of Xbox. Or, Indiana Jones is fine, but it wasn't one of their flagship titles. So, like, Forza being one of the big three, that's a bridge too far, I guess, for some people. Also, Forza Horizon 5 is 4 years old. Like, it's not a new game.
Right.
And then the other big comment I kept saying, be nice if Sony reciprocated and started giving us some of their previous exclusives. I'm like, but they're not in a position where they need to do that, and the business leader, model isn't that. Yeah,
the market leader does not need to cater to the people who are behind them.
Right.
I mean, technically speaking, a market leader would be Nintendo, but
Nintendo does not cater to.
Nintendo does not cater to anybody.
They don't even cater to their own customers sometimes.
Yeah. So that's. But no, it is very much that point. And Sony's also not necessarily trying to sell you a service. Like, they have PlayStation Plus tiers, which I still am confused by. But that is not their bread and butter. They're just trying to milk more money out of it. Not that Xbox isn't. But Xbox is very keen on making Xbox and Game Pass more synonymous with kind of a software ecosystem than it is a hardware one. I think it's fine for this generation. I do think their big problem is going to be how you transition. But that is not for us to figure out. I'm sure, they have intelligent minds or marketing executives at work trying to figure that out. If this was the first announcement, I can understand. But it's been a year. It's been over, literally, I think a year ago this month was when they had that big, like, the future of Xbox is going to be different, and we're going to start examining games on a case-by-case basis talk to the audience. Is it just going to be this reaction? Like, again, if the rumors are true, I assume we'll see Halo Master Chief Collection. Rumors on the Switch 2. I also imagine I come to PlayStation 5. Is that going to cause a freak out? If Gears of War E-Day comes out on multiple systems, is that going to cause a freak out?
I think every game from now on out will cause a freak out. Like, these, there's no satisfying them. And, like, Microsoft already cracked the dam open. Like, the Valve is on. The games are coming out on other systems. So they're not going to turn it off because there's money to be made.
Literally, as we talked about Microsoft's big event, they had five games. Of those five games, four of them are on other consoles.
Yeah. Yep. It's a contingent of Xbox fans, big mad. I'm sure there's a contingent of Sony fans. I did not catch that, if they're mad that it's coming over there, but
I assume there were some people. I mean, I think Sony fans are a bit different. But I think there has been some regard when their games get ported to PC. But I feel like PC versus console has its, but I feel like it's not as ingrained with your identity as like Xbox versus PlayStation versus whatever. So people get mad because, again, why am I spending $600 on this when I whatever, and you're buying it like anything else for what you enjoy. Like, those games are not on the Xbox.
The comments I love are the ones, well, I guess I should just get rid of my Xbox and get a PlayStation. I was like, and rebuy all your games? Like, what?
You still do it.
Right, go ahead. But, like, if you're going to give up your library and convert them all to PlayStation, like, that seems dumb. At the very least, like, hey, maybe next generation you're like, all right, well, all Microsoft stuff's going to be on PlayStation. Maybe I just get the PlayStation 6, and because I don't need two $600, $700 machines sitting in my living room. Whatever. So goofiness abounds with that. You've mentioned PlayStation Plus, Earl. Talking about that. And I guess that's a piece of news too, is that they announced that they're discontinuing PlayStation 4, like their free monthly PlayStation 4 games at the end of this year.
It's shocking. The PS5's right. only been out for what, 4+ years now?
Yeah.
I don't think
maybe, maybe it's time to move on.
I don't think there's any downside. Like, because I think right now they give you 3 games and one of them with the PlayStation. Does it go? Is it still 3 games, or does it go down to 2 games, and you just don't get that PlayStation 4 title anymore?
Yeah, but that's right. It's a year away. We have no idea.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I mean, again, they give people the heads up. I mean, I don't know many people who have a PS5 who are still like, oh man, I need to get like PS4 games. Well, you know, free's free. I'm not gonna, you know, cry over it, but it happens.
Right, and you need PlayStation Plus if you're going to play any multiplayer on their system anyway. So it's kind of like the old Xbox Live Gold. Like you kind of just need it if you're going to play anything. So those games are a bonus, you know. Okay, now they're not giving you PlayStation 4 games. Like, you know, you probably weren't paying for it for those free random games. You didn't know what you're going to get every month anyway. It's just a bonus. So I understand people being like, oh, they're taking stuff away, but...
Yeah, you said, I mean, Games with Gold went away.
Yeah. Like,
that was wholesale just replaced with Game Pass titles, and people bitched and moaned, but now I don't even think about it anymore.
No, because honestly, like, what, maybe 1 or 2 games a year that were with the Games with Gold were of something that anybody wanted to play.
Right. Most of them were crap. Like, utter crap.
Like, every once in a while, we get something cool, but recently, like, at the end of Games with Gold, like, it was, like, any of the cool games I already had, and because I got them 10 years ago.
I think that was the problem. Finally, when they were finally ready to give away a game for free, is because they couldn't sell it anymore. And, like, we've already bought all those games.
Which, circling back to Forza Horizon 5, is probably why it's now going to show up on PlayStation. Because they've milked all the Xbox and PC people. Hey, PlayStation is maybe a new venue. These people may have not played it yet. So,
you know what they should do just to really drive people nuts? It should launch on PlayStation. But it launches as part of PlayStation Plus Essentials or whatever that tier is. Just, you know, we want to build an audience on the PlayStation, so all you PlayStation fans get it for free for the and the same with the show.
The absolute meltdown that would happen. It would be amazing. I'm happy that some people on PlayStation will get a chance to play it, because there are people that I know, they only play on PlayStation and Nintendo. They've never had an Xbox, and they swear by Gran Turismo being the best racing game. And it's like, I think you guys have played Forza. Specifically the Horizon stuff, which is...
Horizon's the fun one, right?
Yeah, it's the open world. Yeah. You know,
I'm willing to play.
The one Tony will play, yes. Yeah, Motorsport is the one that's more like Gran Turismo, but they're all built on the same physics model, so the cars in Horizon handle like they handle in Motorsport. It's just, it's a more fun environment, and you can drive off and run over cactuses and fly off mountains and shit. All right, was there any other news that caught your guys' eyes?
The EA restructuring.
Yeah, I forgot about that one.
BioWare, after the information that came out about Dragon Age Veilguard. Is it Veilguard or the Veilguard?
Yeah, the Veilguard.
Okay. But yes, Senti sent out a press release saying, you know, they are just reshuffling people to focus more on Mass Effect, and there will be some redundancies because not everybody's needed, as they are not working on anything, which kind of goes to show that probably not much in the way of DLC, nor are they ramping up for another title, so it might be the end of the road for the Dragon Age franchise. Who knows? It is a shame.
Yeah.
Because again, want to take Prince of Persia Lost Crown, sold 1.7 million copies in its first year, and again, was not enough to save the studio. So we're getting games that are selling decently, but not where the industry is anymore. Where like you need to be like a 5 million seller just to hope that your studio doesn't get axed.
And Dragon Age was probably in a worse position too, because you know that game had been in development for 6-7 years minimum.
Yeah,
it reconfigured multiple times during its development, and yeah.
If how much did the Lost Crown sell?
I think I would have to find it. I think something like 1.5, 1.7.
If that's not enough for like that type of game, the budgets are too big, or something's not right. Something's not adding up. Because what do you expect out of that type of like? That's pretty good for that type of game, I'd say. I don't know, like
right, a 2D side scrolling Metroidvania. Like it, yeah. It looks phenomenal, but it is still ostensibly one of those games. You were never gonna do 5 million copies of that game.
If you approach 2 billion on that, it's amazing. Like I don't understand.
Dread sell. Does anybody know what Dread sold?
That sold more even. That's always surprising. I think when I say 4 mil.
What Metroid Prime Dread? I mean, well, Metroid Dread.
Yeah.
I think it's on the 3.
I think it's the best-selling game Metroid's ever had. And again, that was largely probably due to it being on the Switch. I don't know, but
as of December,
that's kind of like the mark, right?
As of December 2022, Dread has sold 3 million copies worldwide.
Right, so as of 2 years ago,
yeah,
it sold 3.
That was a huge success for one of their biggest franchises, but up there, right? Like it's like. Like Nintendo seems to understand how to budget it out. Like,
I think
Nintendo, I don't know. Like,
Nintendo's in an interesting position for many reasons, but I think they also, it's one of those things where they understand they can kind of have these big budget, not misfires, but like these big budget games that sell decently, because for them it's more, it adds value to the console where people are like, where yeah, it's just gonna sell 3. We'll just start a Mario game the next year, which they did, and that sold 13 million. So you can recoup that cost. And again, I assume they made money on Metroid, because most of their games are very tight. I think Zelda's the biggest, and that's still 200 people or something like that, compared to something like these bigger games where they can get 1,500 people.
Dude, I beat Indiana Jones this week.
I don't believe you.
The end credits were 36 minutes long.
Oh, I skipped through. I did not get to the end.
I wanted to see. And it kind of goes like my whole thing I'm driving right here, which is like everything has gotten too big. Like the file size is too big. The studio's too big. Like fucking scale back the budget on this shit. And again, like Nintendo gets away with having games that feel completely AAA on a much, much smaller budget, much smaller file size, et cetera, et cetera. I understand they're working with way older hardware, but like, I don't know, well, man.
Nintendo
I
think maybe also you know has the a lot of sauce. Other corners that other countries that aren't Japan don't have to worry about.
What do you mean?
Well, like for instance, Nintendo is one of the least environmentally friendly companies in terms of the game sphere, so well, they're using very low quality stuff, like the lot of toxic. Like it's a bit.
I always thought that was a misnomer. It's because they get reported on because they don't report out.
No, so, I don't even think that's true.
Because I've seen some, and again, I could be wrong, but I've seen reports where a lot of times they get like an F because they don't. Like they don't share a lot of information, which is good and bad. You see this if you ever pay attention to sales figures. North America, Japan, Europe, all have their games across the board. does not include digital figures. Everybody else, Steam, PlayStation, Xbox, will give you digital figures. Nintendo does not give it to anybody. So you can always see, like, with their game, but also any multi-platform games, it would be like, you know, asterisk, does not include digital from Nintendo. But again, it could be that case. But I thought you were going to say, and I think they got in trouble with this before, they don't tend to have a lot of voice acting, but I think when they do, a lot of the time, it tends to be non-union. Which is
like
why,
the Mario guy.
Yes.
Who does not seem like he was well compensated, even though he was Mario.
Yes. And he paid Mario for, what, 300 games or something like that?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was still like 2 hours of work total.
Yahoo! Yeah.
For all 300 games.
But you would think you would get like some type of back end. But again, because you're not dealing with union contracts, it was one of those things that came up with Xenoblade Chronicles, because Melia in Xenoblade Chronicles 1 is voiced by Jenna Coleman, who went on to star in Doctor Who. So Kiri, a union actress, and they were like, is Nintendo going to get her back for Xenoblade Chronicles 3 DLC? And I assume they did and had to, you know, shell out a little penny, because the unions have a rate. Where there are times where Nintendo gets like some guy in the basement to record something for them. I mean, you see it with Zelda, even with the two recent Zeldas, there's voice acting, but there's not a ton of it.
Again, I don't know. All I could tell you is if like your game is selling millions of copies and that's not enough, like then you have fucked up.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I'd also say that I fully agree with that, Jeff. But also, Nintendo does a pretty good job of, you know, there's always a Metroid game. At least there's always a game in one of their series per generation of their system. When, like, the last Prince of Persia game that anybody knew about was in 2010. That was like the Forgotten Sands.
So, yeah, but if Nintendo whipped out a new F-Zero, it's not going to be like, well, this new F-Zero has to sell as many copies as Mario Kart, or it's a failure. Like they're just.
But I also think if they were to bring out a new F-Zero, they wouldn't be like, we're expecting this to do, you know, 3 million copies. They're expecting a new F-Zero to do 300,000 copies. Like,
and they're gonna budget it accordingly
for that. You know? Yeah.
Ed, I mean, you're saying it, and I mean, I think that's exactly what they did with F-Zero 99.
Exactly.
We're not gonna have that.
That's stupid.
Yeah, literally, we're just reusing Super Nintendo assets. We got a whole new game, and we got an F-Zero. Like, people may not count it in the same way, but it is something where it's like, oh, there's still interest. We can drive up interest. And again, I'll pat Nintendo on the back, all that, but I do think other companies do that as well. I think Sony was good at that for a bit. I think their pivot to games and services, as we learned over the past 2 or 3 weeks, was the wrong call in that regard, because there's a lot of smaller games that they released as well in between these huge cinematic adventures. I mean, Astro Bot is a testament to that. The flip side of that, of course, is they did kind of knew most of the Japanese studios. So it is one of those things. I think, you know, as much as, you know, we sometimes complain about annual franchises, sometimes they do help. But even that, they don't become guaranteed hits anymore. Like Ubisoft used to have, like Ubisoft for 10, 15 years, very easy. Just Dance, Assassin's Creed were the two holiday titles. Both did north of 10 million easy. And Just Dance can't cost anything. I mean, licensing the songs is probably the biggest part of the budget. And I assume they still do well, but apparently not enough to offset this, or, you know, the fact that the other Prince of Persia remake has been in development for 5 years now, if something like that.
At least.
But the long and short of it, and I think it's something we've talked about time and time again, none of this is sustainable for the industry. There's no way that there was actually something that came up on my timeline today or Sky, whatever people want to call it today. I should learn how to pronounce his name, because I always quote him. the MPD, not MPDs, what the circuit group, Arcana group, that former MPD group, Matt P, was, everybody talks about, you know, this and that for competing for gaming and space and time. He says the biggest competition are, you know, I say it almost every week on this show, Fortnite's my forever game. There's a lot of people who have forever games. If you look, he showed a comparison of the top 10 games in North America in 2020 and like the same for 2024. And it is Fortnite. It is whatever Call of Duty was that year. It's NBA 2K of that year. It's Madden of that year. You're competing like right there. You are getting 50, 60% of the industry of normal people. That's what they play. They play one or two games and that's it. They are not like us. Like, I feel like a shame when I don't have a new game every week. There are people who I will buy Madden and this will make me content for the rest of the year. I will buy WWE 2K. That will make me content for the rest of the year. I've been playing Fortnite for 6 years. I'm going to continue giving Fortnite all of my video game money. There are people like that. And those are the people that you somehow need to talk to or get them out of their bubble or give them to try other things for the industry to continue to grow or use it in software.
Yeah. I don't know how much of the Dragon Age stuff, cause like, you know, they said that some people were laid off, and that some people were moved over to Mass Effect, but also that's pretty standard for after a game kind of ships as well. Like
they need to go back to the drawing board and like start from scratch. And they have this big staff that they've built out to build this thing. But yeah. Like you don't need all those people sitting around waiting to find out what the thing is that they're going to build for the next game. It's going to be years before that is the case.
Right. So they move the people over that do the technical stuff over to Mass Effect or whatever else the company's working on. And then unfortunately, like it's just the way the industry works is that there's those people that have those jobs that they don't need right now. And they end up getting cut. Same thing happened with, you know, with Bethesda with Starfield. Like people moved off of production on Starfield. Some of them lost their jobs. Some of them moved over to Elder Scrolls 6. And, you know, they kept a small core team to continue working on Starfield. But that's still getting content. They announced early on, like immediately, I think, maybe even before the game shipped, that the Veil Guard was not getting additional content. So, I think you're all right. Like, it's not sustainable. I also think some of this was probably to be expected, and some of the news people are blowing it a little out of proportion in regards to the Veil Guard. But
yeah, I think part of it again is it's just because of constant news.
Yeah,
it's just overwhelming and depressing. And I think the other thing, and again, you know, not to toot Nintendo's horn too much, but I think Nintendo, and I think this came out with Final Fantasy VII Rebirth and
Rebirth was the latest one last
okay.
year.
So it came out with Rebirth from Rebake. Oh, Rebirth, wow. From Remake is that they were able, I don't know the time frame, but because they keep so much of the core team intact, they were able to do so much more during the pandemic because it was the same teams working on it. The same way that Tears of the Kingdom and Breath of the Wild, pretty much the same cast of developers. And I think sometimes that's what's missed in a lot of these turnovers is you end up having to start from square one. Or you have a basis for, you know what Assassin's Creed game is going to be, but it might not be somebody who, I've done this texture several thousand times. I know what to do. Or I know the language, the aesthetic of this Assassin's Creed. I know what this needs to be. And you take these people and you dress them out. They go elsewhere. You get new people in and you're just kind of starting again. So you end up with, one, not a vision, but you also just end up, you don't have that uniformity of knowledge. And I think this goes and you know, and we're talking about video games, but I think this goes across the board. I think any company that does massive layoffs and then has to rehire, there's so much internal knowledge that just gets lost, and it's not something you can ever hire back. Like, you can hire, you know, fresh grads, you can hire experts, but there's just something about the connections you make with people, the way things operate, the way you talk to vendors, that you can't replicate with new people. And when you do it in mass, it just becomes a really problematic situation for a lot of people.
Yep. Any other news?
I guess not news, but the Killies were in that one. What is, the Killies are the Game Awards. What is the summer game? That Killies, that Killies Summer Edition?
That's the pre-Killies?
That's not E3.
That's not E3, that's correct. Not so not E3, E3 yeah. Was announced for June 6th. I think that was the big news of the week.
So not E3 is happening again?
Yeah, I mean, I assume it's always going to happen.
I just tried to search not E3. It's not going to work.
Summer Game Fest starts in March, actually.
Does it? It
goes all the way until March until November.
I was about to say, because knowing him, because I think last year wasn't as bad, but I remember the first few years, pretty much anything that happened in June, this is part of Summer Game Fest. It's like, no, it's not.
He's a liar.
The first Summer Game Fest went on forever, I felt.
Yeah, it was the first 2 years, I think.
I think it may still be happening, honestly.
I think
that Summer Game Fest.
We were all just like, oh, no. Like, it sounded great to have all these video game conferences, and then nobody has enough to talk about, but you still want to talk for 2 hours. I did not miss that summer.
I think Nintendo obviously does a great job with their directs, and I think like that last Xbox one was really good. Like, I'd prefer to see something like that, you know, a half hour, 40 minutes, where you just focus on like a handful of games. We don't need 47 games announced.
Well, yeah. What I was going to say is you need the content. You need the content, because I think so many times people are like, we just need to talk to the fans, and it's like, why? What do you have for us? You don't need to just do something. I think you said the Xbox Direct, the developer Direct was good, and I could be wrong. I want to say I think the last State of Play, or one of the State of Play's actually was actually good. I think they get into a point where you get a handle on it. I think I you know, it's a weird thing to complain about with Sony, but so many times they are just like announcement, nice. Like, take a breath.
Yeah.
Actually talk, decompress it, people process stuff. And then the Game Awards and the not E3, I think it's problem one, is it doesn't tend to have massive games. But also Killie is just a weird host. Like, he has charisma, but he's also somehow a brand void of emotion. The closest thing I can think of is like Ryan Seacrest, and I know that's, but he can host stuff. But I don't think he doesn't always come off as enthusiastic to actually.
Hannibal Lecter, charisma, but also devoid of emotion.
I mean, I would never say he's a cannibal, but close enough, yes.
Should ask Keely if he likes fava beans. All right, well, that's the news. What have you guys been playing this week? Earl, you play anything?
Yes, let me see if I can actually, I do not know. Let me see if I figure out. How to, okay, well, one, I will just start off with, I think last week I mentioned I was going back to, I had an itch and I played Bowser's Fury. And
yeah,
this week has been really, really terrible for a multitude of reasons. So I was like, you know what, my mental health's taking a hit. Why not make it worse and just feel bad about myself? So I decided to start Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze again.
Oh, great.
So, okay, let me just one.
That's fantastic. What everyone loves, right?
Huh? Yes. I absolutely love that game. It's fantastic. It's a great game. Amazing music. It is sometimes balls hard. And it will, like, you will die. I don't think it's ever cheap, but you will die. And you will die often. And you will die some more. And then when you think you couldn't die anymore, you will die.
The game was hard even after they added like the easy.
I did not do the monkey mode. I have some dignity.
It's still hard, dude. It's still hard on.
I have some pride.
Even playing with like the easy mode, it's hard, Jeff. Like that.
You, like, walk over everything and you're fine. Yeah, like it's.
Yeah.
Well, I think I got used to playing as him, so then like. Well, I went to go back to play it again as I'm like, oh, fuck, this is hard. It's like, dude, you try playing as fucking one of the normal players. You're shit. The game is, like, genuinely one of the hardest games ever made, I think.
But it's not, it's never not unfair, it's never unfairly hard.
It's not, like, in your face about that. It's not like you're playing Mario Lost Levels and they're like, how fucked up can we make this? But like, it's very, very fucking hard. Like, it's like, and it's not always, but it's like, you get the points, there's like choke points, and then you're like, god damn, I'm never gonna beat this fucking level.
And then you do, and you feel fantastic.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's kind of the thing I like in video games now, is that feeling. But boy, I really feel it in that game, and I like to think of myself as an okay like platformer guy. Like, I'm decent at them. It's the hard.
The funny thing is, and I know I am an outlier in this regard, in most regards when it comes to this, is I originally played it on the Wii U. I mean, that's where it came out.
Yeah.
I'm a huge motion controls. I know everybody, you know, has their feelings about it. I like motion controls. So I played it with the motion controllers. I played Donkey Kong Country Returns with motion controls as well. I am so accustomed to that it's pretty taken. I'm very trying to.
What?
Huh?
Like, to do what? What do the motion controls do?
In the Wii U version, and I could be wrong, and I think the Wii version as well, you just do it. I think you either did it to roll. Or if you were standing still, he would he does the ground pound with his hands.
He would like shake the Wiimote to the right or something, and he would roll.
Yeah, and I'm so accustomed to playing it that way that in my brain, I don't know why, is having the hardest time wrapping my head around the controls for like rolling is on a button. And I think part of it is, I think the other part of it for me is I'm so accustomed to Mario. That runs on the face button, where I think the default for this is the run, or he doesn't run, he rolls. The roll is the triggers. And then, because he has roll, ground pound, jump, and grab. So the grab and the jump are on the face button, and then the roll's on. And it's, I'm doing it up with, I don't know why my brain's not comprehending triggers to roll. And I switch them up, you can switch it up where I think the face buttons are roll and then the triggers are grab. Still not working, so I have to figure something out. So I'm playing the game, but I feel like I'm not like doing, like having the momentum and the things I need to do. But I, you know, finished the first world. I got it out of the special exits right off the first bat. Again, really good game, really gorgeous, great music. I feel bad Diddy's a wasted character in this, because I think Dixie's better for what he does, because Dixie gives you that extra jump and she goes upwards, where Diddy just kind of, he gives you a longer jump, but you just go horizontal in one direction. And then Cranky, of course, has his Scrooge McDuck cane stick. But yes, and then the other thing, and I know everybody always talks about this when they talk about these games, but I do love the environmental storytelling. I do love that, like, the levels feed into each other. And you can kind of see the story unfolding, you know, not in your face, but like, okay, like the game starts off with a plane crashing, and like the first world, you kind of go through that. And then like near the end, you go on a minecart, and that's through the wreckage of the plane crash, and like, you know, like ducking and dodging on the, like the plane propeller and stuff like that's really cool. So we'll see what games my mental health gives you next week. The other thing I tried. And I was looking this up because I did not. I did I pay for NSO, or I'm a part of my friend's membership. I pay $10 a year to Nintendo. So I was like checking out those random games. And this is a super random game. I don't think this was ever released in America, but I could be wrong. It is called Tsuchi Hanku. It is a puzzle platformer where if you play with a little kiwi or I don't know, like a snowman of some sort. But basically, you have the ability to, I guess, you have like a long nose and you can use it to suck out color of certain stuff and then put the colors on blocks. And depending on what the color is, like one color, the blocks will go, they go back and forth horizontal. One will go back and forth vertically, and then the other one will go diagonal. So it's like using that, those, and I'm sure you'll unlock more stuff as you go. You'll use that. And so it will start at a point. So like part of it would be like, okay, this block's here. I can use it to jump up, but then I need to like have it go back up. So then it starts high. So basically use it as a staircase. It's like each time you'll stop it, you'll drain it of its color, put it back, and it will start going higher and higher. Sometimes you need to like get three or four of them in a row. It's a very interesting and different game. I, again, coming from Donkey Kong, coming from Sonic, coming from Mario right now, it asks you to kind of stop and think. It's given me somewhat, not exactly, but box vibes, and that you are really trying to take stock of the environment before you start making moves, because you don't want to box yourself in a corner or get into a situation where you can't get it. But it's, a cute little game right now. I'd recommend checking it out. I assume most of us have never played. I'm assuming most of you have never heard.
No. What was the name again, Earl?
I am not trying to pronounce. It's Sutteehakkun.
Kun. Okay. I will try to add that into the show notes. People can find it. I probably won't be able to read my handwriting later, so I don't know what this is again, but
I'll link in the chat for the wiki.
Cool. That is that looks it like sounds a, neat.
Just looks like a DEI game.
Oh God.
Cancel. We said we weren't doing anymore.
Yeah. Fuck.
Tony, you play anything this week?
The only thing I played is NBA 2K25, which I am still loving and enjoying.
Yep, continuing on your career.
Yes. I am on my way. Like, I like to play these. There's normally an achievement for hitting like a certain level with your player, yeah. And I normally play it until like level 90. There's not one this year, but there's a bunch of other achievements for like doing certain things in your career. I'm trying to get all of those, and then I'll move on. I mean, really, I'm just wasting time until Civ and Monster Hunter come out.
That's fair.
But we'll get there.
Yep. Games are almost there. Jeff, what you finished Indy.
Finished Indy.
How'd you like that?
It was okay. It was okay. It was
that is a much improved outlook
than I guess from
where you started.
I guess. Did I tell you guys about like my coworker? I was telling my coworker, hey, I finally like he asked me like a month ago, you play the Indiana Jones game? And I was like, fuck that shit.
Yes.
And then did I tell you guys about this? About how like I told him, hey, I finally started playing it, and what his response was.
No, you didn't say what
his response was like, oh yeah, how is it? I'm like, hey, it's okay. And I'm like, if you like, like puzzle stuff and he goes, I heard it's kind of slow and boring. And I was like, yep. Like if we're in an elevator and you had to describe this thing in 2 seconds, like to a normie, I'd say, yeah, it's kind of slow and boring. And everything else I thought about it kind of still stands. Like it, it shines for me at moments doing the Zelda shit, but what's the rest of it? it's just okay. It's just not my type of thing anymore. And again, the shocking thing to me was getting to the end of this relatively short game and that the credits were 36 minutes long. I'm like, Jesus Christ, this is not how we can make games anymore. We can't do this. We can't do it. We can't have a game that's that short and it's fucking 13,000 fucking people working on it and whatever. But it was fine. So yeah.
Jeff, you should play. You should play the next Assassin's Creed game and watch the credits. That'll be 3.5 days long.
Oh my god, those credits are something else.
At least with like the last one I played of that, that game was super fucking long. So like, it was almost like I could see it. With this, it was like, oh my god. You could see like.
There's a bunch of like optional stuff. I assume you also did not do though. I assume you skipped over.
Yeah, I probably missed stuff. But you can see the budget on screen when you're playing it. It's obviously a budget game, but
it looks great.
You know, they're going through every country and the localization crew for that country is hundreds of people. I'm just like Jesus Christ. But yeah, I really don't have anything new to say about Indiana Jones. I thought it was. Fine.
Outstanding. You loved it.
I go back to like kind of what I said, you know, the last few times where it's like I kind of respect them for not just doing the big action game, which was what you would expect from like if you give a studio this kind of budget and this IP, you kind of expect them to like it to mostly be action. Yeah, we'll like throw in some puzzles and shit. Like they went like full on the other way. But at the same time, I don't think they like executed a lot of things very well, or at least how I would execute them. And I thought the combat is terrible in it. And the boss fights fucking sucked. And yeah, it was a game that like I watched those 36 minutes. I fucking uninstalled and I will never play it again. But it was it was relatively
you
well
didn't
done.
Want to go through and find all the ancient relics, wasn't it?
No.
That I couldn't do. Like I did a lot of the stuff in it, Tony. I could not go and find all that stuff.
I did a few. Like I went through like Rome and took all the pictures, and like I did some of that stuff. But there's no way.
I mean, I absolutely will reinstall it when the DLC comes out and play that. Like the story DLC that they're going to release. So I'll go back to it, but. Play anything else, Jeff?
I went from that straight into Marvel Midnight Suns.
Oh yeah, I forgot you did play that.
Oh, my own game of the year.
Was it really?
That year it was, yeah.
What year was that? Jeez, it's kind of old now because it's like
a couple years old.
Was that 2021?
I think it might be older because it was like. I almost accidentally bought the Xbox One version.
It was definitely during COVID.
I mean, to be fair, Jeff, they're still releasing Xbox One games because, like, they just released Fallen Order or whatever Jedi Survivor. Oh, wow. They just released that on Xbox One.
It's 2022.
2022.
I would have guessed like 2018, but it doesn't particularly look well. I don't think like it's not a looker.
No.
It is, you know, if you like that type of game, I think it's very fun. Like, I don't think it's as good as, say, like, my favorite game like this is the Mario and Rabbids sequel. Like, the one that recently came out, I think is excellent. Yes, but it's like that, except you're using cards to battle. And, you know, I've been all into card games recently, so... It's kind of like playing Slay the Spire mixed with like Mario and Rabbids, and it's very fun in that respect.
So can you recap the? Because I mean, obviously Tony talked a bunch about it 2 years ago, but like the how the combat works with the cards.
Yeah, you'll get up like you get into an encounter. It's like you and a bunch of guys on a board type deal, and
like
you get cards. Right? Yeah, you get a bunch of cards. Well, XCOM, I don't think he uses cards, right?
No. But the board, like the tactical setup is kind of like a little overhead. Like you move your guys around,
and you know the cards apply to different characters. So it's like, you know, there's, what's that? You first build, you pick your team before you go to any mission. So it'll be like right. you and Spider-Man and Captain Marvel and, you know, a number of cards will pop up and you try to make the best of what, you know, you got there in terms of the cards. And you're just not a whole strategic moving around the board. In fact, there's almost none because you could do per turn, you could do one move. So you could move from here to here. And the only reason to really do that is to, like, you basically get a free attack by doing that, because if you place it next to an enemy, you can, like, kick them and fucking knock them back into, like, a, you know, into a fucking electrical receiver. Yeah. You know what I mean?
You can, like, also line up shots, like, if you have ones that hit multiple guys.
Yeah, yeah, you can try to do that. You can try to position somebody so that, like, yeah, like, Captain Marvel, perfect example, she has a photon beam that covers the whole map, so, like, if you could move her into a position where, like, her beam could hit, like, 3 or 4 guys at once, that would be great, right? But that's such a, almost like an afterthought, because, again, you can only do one move per turn. So it's like, you really are just kind of looking at the cards you have and going, okay, what can I do with these cards, with the enemy? Like, could, you know, oh, I have a card where I could grab an enemy and whip them. Okay, where is there an enemy that's standing next to something I could whip them into that's going to cause more damage or something like that? And that's basically it. Like, you get, you know, 3 cards, like, per turn, then you get end turn, then the enemies all get to attack, and then you're back to drawing cards again. And
are you building a deck? Or is it
yes, just like randomized cards? Yes.
Okay.
You're building a deck, and
the deck is by character.
Yeah, every character has their own deck.
Oh, and so, like, if you're using Wolverine for this mission or Blade for this mission, they have their own decks.
And it'll be one that you have. Yes.
Okay.
Possibly. So that brings us, like, the other part of the game, which is, like, in between the encounters, the battles, or whatever. You go back to, like, this base level, kind of like Call of Duty, the new Call of Duty or whatever, right? And you're, like, building that up, and they're, like, in my opinion, it's an insane amount of busy work you're supposed to do every day. Like,
I thought that would be the part you would hate the most.
I do hate it. I think it sucks. I think it's too much. I think it's too much. Like, I get it. Like, I like that type. And actually, Chris, it has the flow of Dungeons of Hinterberg, where it's like, you go out. You do a dungeon, or in this case, you do a battle, and then at night you could hang out with somebody, right? And then, like, go to this machine and craft this and fucking whatever the fuck. But the main thing of what you're trying to do is, like, build up your characters, basically, like, build your decks. Like,
yeah,
you know, go to this machine. Okay, your reward is you get to choose 2 out of these 4 cards to add to these characters, and then, like. But then you have to go into those characters and edit their decks and be like, do I want to add that card? You know, there's trade-offs to it because each character can only carry, like, what, 8 cards or something like that. I just think that there is, like, the stuff that you have to do between the missions is, like, it just really feels like busy work. I run right through it. And, you know, a lot of it is like, oh, I'm going to sit down and play video games with Peter Parker. We're going to talk. And I'm hitting skip, 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 skip. I don't care anything about what they're fucking saying. So I'm missing, like, all of whatever the story is.
You just want to get to the next battle. And
yeah, but, like, once you get used to the routine, you can kind of do all that busy work very quickly. You're like, okay, I only go to this computer to do this. That will mean I get to go to, like, this thing to upgrade my fucking abilities. That means I get to go here. And so, like, you start to get very fast at doing all that stuff. And so if you don't care for it, like, it, you know, it's like 5 to 10 minutes of bullshit in between the battles, which I think are pretty fun. Like, again, I wouldn't put them up there with anything in the genre, other than I played, I don't think it's better than anything, but, like, it is, it's cool. The card aspect is cool about it. And then, like, the way, you know, when you do choose a card, like, seeing, like, your superhero, like, do, like, the cool shit is pretty awesome. Especially if you get, like, a combo card where they're, like, both beating the fuck out of an enemy for you or whatever. Like, again, it's nothing. I can't believe that was your game of the year.
That was a shitty year. I'm pretty sure that
it's good. Like, I have really, again, the only bad thing I see against it is it's a lot of busy work between missions, but it's, you know, you get used to it and you know, like, what you have to do, and it's fun, man. Like, I got on sale for $10. That was like a very good deal for $10. I've played a lot of it, and the only thing though is it doesn't feel like a main game to me, where it's like you want another game that you can like dig into on the side, because like after you do 4 or 5 missions, it gets very monotonous. Like you're just doing this over and over, right?
How far have you gotten? Because the missions, like they get really hard, and they're like ones that have multiple parts, and like the boss battles against some of like the super villains are pretty cool.
I've done at least 2 where it's multiple parts where you think you're done and then a big villain comes out. And yeah. I would say about 15 nights in, you know, like it counts it by like, you know, when you go to save, it's like night 15, day 15. So I'm about 15 nights in. So am I deep in the game? No. But am I at the beginning of the game? No. Like I've put some time into it now over the last couple of days. I've been off this week. I haven't had shit to do. But I was like, I need something else on the side, right?
Yeah. So yeah, it's definitely like I would play like for something like that. You play like a mission or two, and then
you're kind of done, right? Like yeah, you know. So I was like, oh, I need something else. So I was like, you know what I'm gonna play? Well, I just turned on my Switch. I was like, let's look at what can I play on the Switch. I thought about buying Donkey Kong Country, but then I looked at it. I was like, dude. You got Super Mario Wonder. You've played through that, but that's an excellent game. You already own it. It's free, so I started playing that.
It's not frustrating.
At least it wasn't as far as I've played it. It's good. It's a very good 2D Mario game. And I played a couple levels. I walked out of the room. I walked back in, and the console was off. And I was like, what the fuck? Turn it back on. It is like roaring. The fan is like,
vroom. Oh no.
I was like, oh, I guess my Switch is dead now. Like it.
Oh no.
Straight like Mario Wonder made it turn off to keep from overheating for 10 minutes of play.
Mario and, Wonder was way too
yeah, Mario it. Wonder.
Same.
So,
Jeff's hoping to Switch 2 sooner than later.
So, you know what game I started? This, you know, as my on the side game from Midnight Suns.
Mm-hmm.
Little game I like to call Sonic Frontiers. I kind of sung this game's praises a million times. It felt like when it came out, I rushed through it. It was like in that flurry of fall releases and all that when it came out. And apparently 2022, that's my last save file. So I started that over again. I still think that's really neat. It is a little overwhelming in the first hour because you're just like, okay, there's like a million things here. And like, I don't know which thing advances me in the game. Like, you're just like running around, like running into the bosses, running into the challenges. And you're like, okay, what is the thing here? What am I trying to do? What advances my cause? And early on, it can be very confusing in that way. I'm like 2 hours in now. I kind of have is overwhelming at first, but it's still very fun to play Sonic 3D gameplay in a huge open playground like that. And then to be unlocking like, you know, regular Sonic levels to play inside of that. It's Earl, you played Sonic Frontiers, right? We rehash this every week.
I played some of it. I've not finished it.
It's pretty good, though, right? Chris should pay it.
Part of me feels like I should go back and actually try more Sonic games, and part of me is like, there's a reason I don't finish it. But no, Frontier Mania, I was curious about Forces, but I don't want to spend money on it.
Colors is good, too, right?
Yes.
Colors is, I would recommend that behind others, but yeah.
I heard the remake of it is kind of iffy, but...
It's fine. Really? Okay.
I think I also own that too. I gotta inventory my games at some point.
I think I don't know what Chris would think of Frontiers because you don't have it, right, Chris? Or do you have it?
I do not have Frontiers, no.
Because it does feel directionless at first, but I think you would just dig running around like like kind of Tony Hawk stuff fucking around, but then also like
shit and, yeah,
there's like these bosses that are insane, like they're like hundreds of feet tall and you literally like will like Sonic dash up one of their fucking limbs to get to the top of them and then start fighting. Like it's just like the level of epicness is kind of like unparalleled even within that series, where I'm just like, I don't know, man. Like, I feel like if you're a platformer fan, you kind of got to see this shit. It's like nuts. Like, the game is absolutely crazy. It's like very ambitious. There's things about it that, like, obviously, like, now looking back a couple years, I'm like, ah, I can see, like, why this run people are like, you know, there's certain activities in the open world that get repetitive pretty yeah. quickly. And you're like, okay, yeah.
It's an open world game, though.
Yes, that comes with the territory. But, like, at the same time, it's like so ambitious. And a lot of it is like awesome that you're just like, damn, dude. Like I still like 2 hours into playing that tonight, I was like, I cannot believe they for the most part pulled this off. Like a studio that could like barely do a 3D platformer at all went from like that to like, hey, here's an open world one and it fucking is pretty fucking awesome. I think that game is like kind of underrated, dude. So yeah, I'm guess I'm playing Frontiers. I'm like Tony trying to fill space before like the games start kicking off here very soon. But
so what are those first few games you and Tony are looking at?
February? It's just about right,
yeah. That's early. That's mid February,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's like yeah, we're getting 2 weeks away.
Guess I should finish Starfield before then.
Yeah, let's see. I think the first one on my list is Kingdom Come Deliverance 2, but I think I'm going to skip that one.
Yeah, it's out.
It's out right. Maybe if you buy one of the other versions.
Like the deluxe edition or something.
Yeah, like the actual release date is the 4th. But like I'm on vacation next week, so I won't be doing that. I'll be getting Civ 7 when I come back.
I was looking at everything coming out, and it's like, I know you guys said the first half of the year is stacked, and like it's for me, it's like Avowed, and it's like, I hope I really like that, because there's like Avowed, Expedition 33.
You're a Monster Hunter fan, though, Jeff, right?
I am, but I
and didn't you like the, like, expansive Assassin's Creed games? Because, like, there's one of those coming out.
I thought it was not expansive.
No, that was the last one.
Wow,
yes, this one is a larger experience.
I can see it. I can see me playing it because I'm just like, I don't know. There's Avowed and Expedition 33, and they're 2 months apart. You know, it's like I just don't see.
You don't want to play Monster Hunter?
I'll probably just be playing Path of Exile for eternity.
That's okay. So like if you guys aren't getting Monster Hunter, I'm not like I am not a big Monster Hunter fan.
I like Monster Hunter, but you're getting it?
I'm getting it on Xbox and I'm getting it on Steam. So I will be playing in multiple ways.
I just feel like I've played so many of those games now and like they're all basically the same and like
oh no, yeah. they're very different.
Get out of here, dude. There's nothing different like about them at all.
Stuff, right though?
Yeah.
I think there's a mountain in this one.
Yeah, and it's like more like you have a mobile camp you can move around and you can like call in allies to come help you and it's just AI allies, not just like actual people.
Yeah, not like in World where you like send up a flare or something, right?
Yeah. Like, and you can like wound monsters now. There's like wounds that you occur and then you can hit them again for extra damage. Like there's some cool stuff about this one. Get on it, Jeff.
Yeah, that's something I need other people to play with because like I drop off of those games by myself real quick. So
yeah, my kids are both super into Monster Hunter, so
that's cool. All right. Well, I talked about Snow Riders last week, the Lonely Mountain game, and I'm still playing it. I'm just about done with it though, which is wild because I still have not finished the mountain biking game by them. The multiplayer makes the progression so much quicker, so you can get like the other skis that like go faster or give you better control that you need to do like some of the single player challenges. You get them quicker because it's just a level based thing. And so like I have all the skis and like now the game's really not much of a challenge once you have everything. And also playing the multiplayer like a bunch, you learn all the trails and there's just not enough of them. Like, I think it's a really fun game. It's just there's not a lot to it. So I'm quite happy it came out on Game Pass because I think I'd be a little bit peeved at the $25 price point. For, you know, what I'm almost completed it in under 10 hours. So, and then I stumbled, a friend of mine asked to play Fireteam Elite, the Aliens game. It's like a squad based one.
Yeah.
So I played some of that with him. We finished it tonight. The main game, we're going to do the expansion, the extra chapter tomorrow. That game is still really good. It's a really good three-person squad game.
It's fun.
Yeah.
It's more aliens than alien, but
yeah, it's full on aliens. Yes, you're just you're a colonial marine. You are
just gutting down these things.
Tons of these things. I think like the only down point for me is like the last mission. Which, like, you come up against the queen shows up, but you don't actually fight the queen. Like, you run away from the queen, which I guess makes sense because, you know,
the queen.
Yeah, the queen's gonna fuck you up. Like, even Ripley kind of ran away from the queen, and I mean, she had to fight it with it. Yeah, she had to fight it in a goddamn mech suit and blow it out the airlock. And even that almost screwed her over, but, yeah, like, it's, like, that last mission is kind of like, all right, we're gonna put you in this arena, it's a small arena, and you're just gonna fight tons of aliens that come at you. And then once you hit the four switches and last out the 10-minute timer, you have to run to the exit, because the queen is chasing you. But other than that, that game's a ton of fun. Like, really neat. The different classes are cool. The different weapons that you can pick up are neat. I mean, the pulse rifle is kind of the one you want to use because it has that sound that you know from an Aliens movie. But yeah, that's a good, fun game.
That's the
Fire Team Elite. It's a three-person squad shooter, yeah.
I think I tried that and I just couldn't get into it or whatever, but I just saw that on Game Pass or something. It was on Game Pass, right?
No, it's not on Game Pass. Oh,
it's not on Game Pass anymore? It was.
Yeah, it was. That's where I played it. I think Aliens Dark Descent?
Yeah, that's a squad-based tactical game.
Maybe I saw it. Player. Okay, I don't know that.
It was. It was on Game Pass.
It was on Game Pass because that's
where the last day or so I saw an Aliens game. Either
no, that's what I'm saying. Aliens Dark Descent.
Yeah.
Which is it's a single player tactical game. But yes, it's also on Game Pass, that single player because you downloaded it. Because it's a squad based game, but it's one player.
Yeah, it's
you're playing that multiplayer one?
Yes, the multiplayer one. Dark Descent is more like, hey, like what if we took the perspective of Baldur's Gate and yes, and I think that's a fun game too. But I'm playing the multiplayer game, Fireteam Elite, which is.
And were you playing it with people?
Fireteam Elite, yes, I'm playing with friends.
Oh wow!
So like a friend of mine, I guess he picked it up on sale or whatever, and he was like, hey, do you have this? And I was like,
I guess I do.
Yes.
We're waiting for this day.
Because it's an Aliens game. Of course I have it. Like, yes, it was. Because I mostly played, when it came out, Jeff, I mostly played it single player, like, which is fine. Yeah, they give you two synthetic Marines to go with you. But you can't play that game on anything higher than standard with the kind of AI bots. This game just gets too hard. But it's fun. And I guess We'll talk about more about it next week. Sean got me a code for Path of Exile 2. It took me way too long to even get it up and running. But I'm in. I have it downloaded. You don't really create a character. You just pick a class, right? And it's like
you pick one, and it's the one person who doesn't get hanged.
Yes. Yeah. So they hang all the other people. That took way too long because, like, it's all you have to do is name the fucking character. Yeah. And every name I throw, I was like, this character, this name has already been used.
Oh, really?
This name has already been used. This name is already, like, Jesus Christ. I finally did, and I did not get to play it because it hit. It was 9:59 when I finally got the name in. And so I was able to get to, like, wherever the river bed is, and, like, that was like, all right, I got to back out.
Hey, all podcast time. All right.
Yeah.
Also, you were, like, literally playing this right before.
Yeah, well, trying to. I was like, so. Okay. So I downloaded it the other night when Sean got me the code. I put it in Steam, and they were like, "That's not a real code." I was like, "Oh no!" But Sean was like, "Oh, like to get it, you need to log into Path of you need to go to the Path of Exile 2 site, create an account, and then put the code in on the Path of Exile 2 page." And then they'll give you a Steam key. He thought there might be an Xbox key as well. There wasn't. It's a Steam key and an Epic key. So I put it in on Steam and downloaded it. And then I was like, well, I also want to play it on the Steam Deck. So I started downloading it there. Normally, my Steam Deck and my PC talk to each other, and it will just download from my PC to the Steam Deck. It would not do that for this game for whatever reason. So it took forever to download it on my Steam Deck. Tonight, I finally, all right, I'm going to play it. I have a little bit of time before the podcast.
Can't
take that long. Pressed go. It was like, your GPU needs there's a new driver out for the GPU, which came out today. They updated, NVIDIA updated the drivers today. So... It's like, I was like, my other games work.
I'm interested to hear how you like it. And then also add me as a friend on there.
Yeah.
And, I could help you with the Act 1 boss, which you'll probably need help with your first time.
So then after I updated the GPU, then I hit login and it was like, your account does not have access to early access. It's like, I just put the code in, and it's because I have an original Path of Exile account that was linked to my Steam account. So I then had to go back to Path of Exile 2, relink my Steam account to the new account that I have, because I don't know what the old account is under. So I think everything's set. Now I'm in. I created a ranger, and she didn't die. Because you know, everybody else in the on the gallows got hung, and she dropped down and ran away, and that's where I'm at. So that's how much Path of Exile 2 I've played. But
I'm liking the ranger. I have to say, it is unfortunately not great in like super swarmy situations, which will happen later on. But like you can get your regular bow shot, like your regular whatever button you have it assigned to. To where it's like it's taking chunks out of enemies with one arrow, and the arrows will do lightning and fire and cold. Like I'm just with that character, I just do so much damage with so little. It's pretty awesome, but not great when it's like you want to do like area attacks. Like I have like maybe one area attack where I jump up and shoot ice at the ground.
Mm-hmm.
But regardless, yeah, add me on there. Because like me and Sean, like, well, I don't. Sean does not call me in for help because Sean has like an insanely level character. But if you ever see me on with the boss, which I'm assuming the fact
that
boss you probably will, just send me an invite if I'm playing. I'll hop right in.
So I will I will have more to say about it as we get on. And yes, I will add you and Sean.
Sean could come wreck, dude. He could come wreck shit for you now. Like, there was, I was just getting annoyed with the boss the other night. I saw he was playing, so I just hit invite. And he came in and killed the boss in under 2 seconds. Like, under, like, literally under 2 seconds. Like, we're walking into the arena, and, like, a bunch of shit flies around, and everything's dead. And I was like, okay, well, thanks. Nice to see you, Sean. See you later. Like, it literally took him less than a minute to fucking kill. Like, I couldn't believe it. I was like, holy shit.
But
I can't do that for you, but I could fight pretty well.
Which I'll probably need, because...
Yeah.
But yes, thank you to Sean. And I will be able to talk about it at some point in the near future. Just we're not quite there yet. Just took me a little bit long to get it set up.
I will say that I think the first act of that game is just incredible. And then like the second act has that trial thing I told you guys about, where it's like basically a roguelike thing that you could do.
Yeah.
I've now done it with all three of my characters, and it's just such a great feeling that like evolve your fucking class. It's just like, oh, cool. Like you don't have to do it, but if you can get through the gauntlet, you get to evolve your class and you get even stronger. It's a good feeling. I don't know how I feel about the end of Act 2 or Act 3 in general, but the first act and a half is so good.
So I'm assuming that when the game finally does, like when it officially releases and has all seven acts, and that like you'll be able to choose like you know, male and female versions of the characters. Because right now it looked like there was only
static. Yeah, I don't know. I think that there are going to be more classes. I think I read that they don't even have all the classes in place, and so. I don't know. I kind of like the static classes where it's just like, if you're playing the ranger, this is what the ranger is. Like, that's who it is.
Yeah, I don't mind. It did look like if I chose the ranger, and so then it like on one side it said ranger, and then like, you know, there's two like squares or two like rectangles that kind of like one side says ranger, and then on the right side it's just blank. It says coming soon. And then like as I move around like the selection board, like sometimes it'll be on the right hand side, sometimes like that'll be where the wording is, and then on the left it says coming soon. So it seemed like they'll give you more, you know, options for gender if you want. If they don't, it doesn't really matter.
DEI is canceled.
Right. Yeah. Maybe they'll just get rid of it.
Can't do that. You can't have DEI.
And yeah, all the characters will just be 45-year-old white dudes.
Yeah, podcasters. Podcast your video game. Pick your class. Well, I'm happy you got it, because I think you'll enjoy it, actually. Like, yeah, I think you might do better than me with some of it, because you've played maybe more of these games than me, and I don't think the difficulty will hit you as hard as like something like Elden Ring does, because again, you're just playing kind of Diablo, but it's harder. Yeah,
like I
used to it,
right? Like Elden Ring's a completely different style of game, like where.
Yeah. But this is the same. Okay. This is funny because I played this earlier tonight with Melissa, and she's so funny. Every boss we get to, we'll get the boss like a quarter dead, half dead, and she's like, we are not ready for that boss, we have to go level up. And I'm like, that's where you have to change your mind from like a game like Diablo, where that might be true in Diablo, but here it might just be like you have to learn the boss. And we leveled up one time, we went back, we got our asses kicked. She's like, I'm done. I'm like, listen, we just have to keep at it until we figure it out. Like, we're gonna learn his patterns, we're gonna get good at it. And, like, we did it one more time after that, and we beat him. And I'm just like, we barely beat him. Like she died at one point, and I had to revive her, and it's very hard to revive somebody. It takes, like, fucking 15 seconds without getting hit. So you have to, like, find an opening where the boss is attacking the other side of the room and, like, run over there and revive him. And you're like, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, he's going to hit me, he's going to hit me. Oh, you're back, run, 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 roll, roll. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's that intense. And we did that twice. I think we both died and revived each other. And we had him, this boss back with, like, he had, like, an inch of health left. And I was like, this is it. Just don't, like, yeah, I had to apply, like, stuff I learned from Elden Ring. Like, don't get greedy. Like, get your hits in. But if he's starting to do a big move, watch for it. Like, because they, you know, all the bosses have big windups. You have to watch and go, okay, now it's time to get the fuck out of the way. And that's a different type of thinking than I've ever had playing, like, Diablo or anything like that, where it's like, no, you have to really respect what the boss is doing and pay attention. But I think the more you do that, like, I think, at least for me, I start to appreciate it more.
So, does it not telegraph, like, where the attack will be? Because that, like, that's what Diablo does, right? Like, all right, so this enemy, like, rains down, I don't know, hail or
it
whatever.
It does, no, absolutely, yeah. If so it's raining something down, it'll be orange.
You'll see the circles, yeah, like, where it's going to be, okay.
It's just, unlike Diablo, it fucking matters. Like, it'll wreck you. And in a game like Diablo, you can just kind of, like, hold down the buttons and power through it. It's too easy. And here it's like, no, you actually have to, like, learn what their patterns are, what they're doing, and what to avoid, when to get the fuck out of the way. Like, you just have to, like, in Diablo, if they're doing something like that, like, you could be standing in the circle where they're going to attack, and you're like, yeah, you're going to take a hit, but you don't have to pay attention, just keep holding on to the attack. And here it's like, no, you have to be like, shit, I gotta move. Because, you know, at least every boss has at least one move they could do that could, like, really fucking hurt you. So, like, if you just, like, space out, you're in trouble.
Got it. Well, yeah, I'm gonna give it a try over the weekend, and we'll see how it goes. I also want to give it a go on the Steam Deck, see how it plays there. Assume it'll play well. It should, right? Like,
I'm assuming, yeah.
Converted to a controller, so it'd be nice to have, like, a little game you could kind of, like, you know, just play on the side when doing some other stuff. Except for boss battles, obviously. But and then real quick, I mentioned Starfield earlier. Tony last week said, like, the ship you get from the Ranger storyline is really mm-hmm. good, and it is. It's
oh yes,
way strong. Like, I was like, ah, it's not that, because it's the same class as the Frontier. But I ran a mission for I think it's the Vanguard, where you know, you're tasked with going out, and like this guy wants you to kill the other guy, but like, you know, my guy's like, I don't really want to kill him. Like, I'll bring him back. I'll bring him to justice. But to do that, you have to disable the ship. So, like, the Frontier can't do that. Doesn't have energy weapons. Unless, I guess, you can mod them on. But this ship I got from the Rangers, like, I was like, holy shit. There's, like, way more, like, energy to this ship. It's also way bigger. Like, there's three floors to it.
Yeah.
It's a cool ship.
I think I used that for most of the game. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, like, it has energy weapons, missiles, and the ballistics. Like, it's neat. It's a cool ship, and it handles like a fighter, which is cool. Yeah. So that was a thank you for telling me that ship was better, because it does have, like, slightly more cargo space, but not a ton more. But it's way better.
You could probably, like, level up your license and all that stuff, and eventually get a bigger one. But that would take a very long time.
Yeah, like, that's like, I can't buy a class C. I can't buy a class B ship, because you have to level up your piloting skill to, like, level 2 or 3 before you can do that. So. Yeah, this ship will do me quite well. I've done 3 of the 4 factions. I'm now on the 4th faction, and then I think I'll probably wrap up the storyline, which hopefully right in time for Avowed, Jeff. So,
hey man, I'm just happy you're playing Path of Exile. Fuck Avowed. Forget about that game for a little bit.
I mean, it's not that far away. So
the fact that you're playing Path of Exile might get me another 2 months out of Path of Exile, because I'm like, now I gotta stick around and help Chris in case he gets to a boss.
Yeah. So that's what we've been playing. Did you guys think about what I said last week? Bring some predictions for what you guys think will be, like,
out No.
I didn't think.
I don't remember what you said last week.
Yeah. He was like break predictions of stuff like, you know.
Wait, who are you again?
Where am I?
but I wanted to.
Why are my pants around my ankles?
Oh no.
I want to touch on something real quick. I did miss, and it's not news, but I think it's newsworthy.
Mm-hmm.
The Video Game History Foundation. Don't know who they are. Heard about them for not the first time today. But they put up an archive today that features a ton of digitized versions of old school video game magazines, EGM, GamePro, stuff like that. It's really great to check out. I've been checking it out all day. I'm checking it out right now. What I found most interesting is in addition to the magazines, they've also put in up other stuff. So one of the things I've been looking at is the Mark Veltman papers. He was a developer at Acclaim and Midway in the 90s and early 2000s. So there's stuff. It's so fascinating to read. So there's stuff like around Batman Forever. There's like a executive summary of Batman Forever. They went to go see it in April of 1994, which is a little more than a year before the movie comes out in 95. And just seeing like the differences in like the scope and scale and set pieces that they were telling people about in the script and what actually turns out being in the final movie. Looking at worked on the WWF games on the Genesis and Super Nintendo. I mean, up until, I think, you know, they also licensed during the N64 PlayStation Saturn era. So looking at that, they have a historical sale from WWE games from like, you know, the first WrestleMania up until, I think, 92, 93, when they could do Royal Rumble. They have GamePro press CD collection, so how companies would send assets to be used in the magazines and stuff like that. I was just checking out Mortal Kombat Trilogy, actually right now, and I'm going to post some of this to my Skyline. I was just checking out the War Guards, which is a very forgotten N64 fighting game that in my youth, I made a lot of bad decisions when it came to video games in my youth. I bought because I think at the time people were talking about like this is Midway's test for like Mortal Kombat going into 3D. So it's a 3D fighting game. It's not a good game. So yeah, I would just say Video Game Historic Foundations, the digital archive, really, I think worth checking out right now. It's still in the early stages, but even now, you'll find something of interest again, even if it's just going back through and, you know, finding a video game magazine or a cover that you remember. I mean, some of these I don't even Casual Connect. I remember Computer Game Review, ETM, Future Play, Game Developer, Game Informer, Game Fan, Mega, Next Generation.
So, if
you can, I'm always down. I'll probably throw them a few bucks. I think they're doing great work, and it seems like, I think it's a few, it's a small team, because it launched earlier today, and I went on the site, and the site was just not loading, and I got to respond back from the dude being, like, we're trying everything. We're just, like, you know, messing with the knobs and making sure it's good to go. But if you're a fan of video game history, or if you're just kind of interested in the industry, I think it's a great asset to have.
Yeah, the people that have been putting that together have been they've been working on it for 5 or so years.
Yeah,
to get it to this point. It's a library.gamehistory.org. If you're looking for it. There's also the Video Game History Foundation website and stuff, but if you're looking for the library that Earl's talking about, it's library.gamehistory.org. And then there's archive.gamehistory.org, which also has a bunch of shit as well. So, that's really cool that they've been scanning all of these.
I mean, as things done. Somebody who's done this before, and oh, you're on a small scale, like one or two things, it is a very tedious process because you have to page by page or thing, because you know, like it, you have to make sure everything's right, make sure it's readable, make sure it's legible, make sure you're not tearing or ripping anything. Some of these CDs, I assume somebody's gone through and ripped the assets and then had to re-upload them and make them into modern standards. It's a labor of love. And I think it's one of those things. I mean, again, reading some of his stuff, and I believe you answered it, you also are reminded just how very secretive the gaming industry can be.
Yep.
Like, you know, we started this show talking about development and all this other stuff, but you think about, I mean, movies is a great example. When the DVD boom of the early 2000s happened, what they did was they were like, we're just going to open these curtains wide. And the curtains have always been open wide for the most part in Hollywood, because they would always put on specials or making of movies before they come out or whatever. But then it was director's commentary. It was behind the scenes. Like, almost every movie films something like that now. You see people on Instagram and whatever sharing, oh, first day on set, reading the script, oh, trying out makeup. You don't get any of that really for video games. And I mean, some of it's fair, some of it's preparatory, but it is also weird how kind of secretive the entire industry can be.
Yep. It's really cool that they have a Game Informer from 1991 through 2024. So,
yeah, it's sad that it ends at 2024, but
yes,
it's a different conversation for a different day. Which is also even more sad that they Game Informer itself got rid of it.
Yep.
I mean, not Game Informer. Game Informer did not get rid of itself. So.
Yeah. So go check that stuff out. Earl, before we wrap this up, you mentioned last week, speaking of archives and online libraries, that there was possibly a way to watch the Super Mario Brothers from the Internet Archive.
Yes, and I think I should have asked for that. But I could be wrong. And also, fun fact, well, two fun facts, I mentioned, I think last week, that, you know, whenever I talked about the Super Mario Brothers movie on Twitter, somebody would always be like, oh, it's so great and everything. So I mentioned on Review Spy that we have decided as a group, with some encouragement, that we're going to do a video game movie a month. And I mentioned that we started off with Mario Brothers, and I still got a random comment from them that those people about it. So good on them. I'm happy that they made the switch. But that, and just real quick, I did not get a ton of responses. I already thought about this tonight. I, you know, sent out a thing on Blue Sky earlier. I'm just saying Blue Sky, so you know that she uses Blue Sky. And asked some people what their, you know, their thoughts on Super Mario Brothers 3, the Super Mario Brothers. And I think a lot of people kind of shared my sentiment. Did not like it as a kid. As an adult, they kind of appreciated it a bit more.
They're not like what?
Huh?
They're not like what?
The movie.
Movie.
Yeah. Oh, the original movie?
Yeah.
I thought you said Mario 3. I got a little mad for a second.
I don't know.
I didn't like that one.
Where are they? What are their names?
Just gonna chase them down. We're gonna have a talk.
I just why can't we be friends? You know, I just want to see how you're doing. You know, address, you know, firstborn, wife and kids.
Are you Magnolia fan 999?
Well, good. Maybe we'll get a. Maybe we'll throw something out before we talk about Double Dragon, right? That's what we're watching. Yeah, next.
That's what. Yeah. And that is on a bunch of services. I was so tempted to watch it this week, but I'm like, if I watch it this week, I'm not gonna remember anything to talk about next month.
It's so memorable, though.
Again, I will just say this: I do want to talk about the Double Dragon. I less so the Double Dragon movie and more so the Double Dragon franchise. Because, and I guess I can say this now, the Double Dragon franchise has no consistency.
Yep.
Because, as far as I can tell, the first game is about two dudes trying to save one of their girlfriends.
Yep.
That's all it should be. That should be it.
The animated series introduces a supernatural element where the sword turns them into a dragon spirit, which is why they get the dragon hoods. And there, I think one of them is like the evil brother, the other one, and they, you know, come together after the end of the pilot or whatever. And then the movie introduces a whole different element about the magical medallion. And again, one or two of them being different, I would get. All three of them being very different interpretations of this brand is just insane to me.
We'll watch it in probably the week we talk about it, but I'm interested to talk about Double Dragon, because that is, yes, it's a weird series, Earl.
There's one good Double Dragon movie, and that's Deadbeat at Dawn. Check it out.
Deadbeat
at Dawn. I don't know if I did you make me watch this, Jeff?
Yeah.
It's on Tubi. 72.
Watch it. It's a great Double Dragon movie.
I'll check it out.
Jeff is using the term Double Dragon loosely.
Very loosely.
Are there two dragons in the movie?
It's like if there was a Double Dragon movie that was like anything, it would be Deadbeat at Dawn.
There are no dragons.
Well, that's unfortunate.
There's no dragons in the actual Double Dragon either. Until the cartoon.
That is true. All right. Well, we'll be back next week with more games played. We'll see. News is starting to pick up again as the year moves on.
I think there's a Capcom event next week for Monster Hunter.
Yes.
Yeah. And everybody should go watch the what Netflix put up for the Devil May Cry anime, which is coming out, I believe, in April. They put up the opening credits for it, and just go watch that and marvel at the song choice that they have chosen for the opening credits of Devil May Cry.
I'm not seeing it yet, but I've heard somebody mention, so I'm very curious to check this out.
My heart will go on.
No. I mean, that wouldn't be appropriate either, but
Wrecking Ball.
Well, from what I understand, what they said is like it doesn't match any, like it's not even synced to the actual opening. So I'm very curious to check this out.
Friend of the show, Justin Carter, used to blog with us at IGN. He posted, I thought it was a joke. So he's like, check out like what the music to, I thought somebody had made like a fan edit. And it's absurd. So like I watched it, I was like, this can't be real. And then I found the real tweet or real, I don't know, what are they calling them on Blue Sky now? Just posts, I guess.
People try to get skis going, but that does not work.
I'm not calling it skis. It's terrible. A post on Blue Sky, which linked to the Netflix YouTube account, and I watched it there. I was like, oh, that wasn't a joke. That's real. Go watch that. It's a weird choice that somebody would bring that band and song back in the year 2025. But we'll be back next week. Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.